Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of the program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we'll do it. We'll make this planet a better place. Out of This World Radio is the fastest-growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries, and I want to thank everyone so much for all of their wonderful support. During the first part of the show today, from now till 2:30 p.m., I will be interviewing Dr. Angel Luis Fernandez, who has studied medicine, philosophy, psychology, business administration, school management, human resource management, literature, and other disciplines in many prestigious universities in Spain, England, the United States, and other European countries. He's dedicated his whole life to making this planet, Earth, a better planet. And he's also a poet, musician, teacher, educator, diplomat, and counselor. And he's now organizing a wonderful conference in the Dominican Republic called the Conference of Peace and Light, which will be held on August 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2016. I feel very grateful and honored to be a keynote speaker at the conference, which will be, its purpose will be to create a better and happier world. Dr. Fernandez is on the line now. We'll be going to have his interview in just a few minutes. During the second part of this first hour, I'll be continuing the wonderful interview I had with Vernon Masayesva, the executive director of the Black Mesa Trust, a Hopi leader of the Coyote Clan and a former chairman of the Hopi Tribal Council. We'll be continuing his interview on Hopi prophecies for the coming year and the coming decades. And this interview should be really interesting. I'm bringing him back because he had so much more to say, and I wanted to finish up his interview. During the second hour, I had planned to interview Dr. Walter Simcoe on reincarnation, but unfortunately I talked to Walter a few minutes ago before going on the air. He's now in a hospital in San Francisco, and I want everyone, all my listeners around the world, to please send Walter lots of love and light. He's in the hospital today, and he cannot come on the air. We'll just reschedule him for a future time. But he's a wonderful fellow. He's done some really incredible, interesting work on reincarnation, and we will have him on again when he feels better. I'd like to thank the wonderful many sponsors of this show, including Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, and everyone who's helped me so much, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start my program, my dear friend Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, for their wonderful help and support. My friends, of course, in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Just quickly, I wanted to tell everyone I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. If you're interested in getting readings, I can teach people how to get in touch with the other side. Please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be reached at 509-750-9793 at my cell number here in the United States. The program is supported, is nonprofit and supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I also have a new column on the webpage called Ask Ted. When you go to the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, you'll see a little tab and just click on it. I just posted a new column yesterday on the future of humanity. You can also listen to this show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com, just clicking on our guests. I also want to say doing a show like this takes a lot of work. And next month, I'll be starting a new television program based upon this radio program, and I really need some help. If there's anyone out there who would like to help with programming for new guests for either the radio show or the new television show, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm also interested in any suggestions you may have for guests in the future. The purpose of this program is to make this planet a better place, and I know with everyone's help, we'll do it. I'd like to just quickly say that tomorrow I'm scheduled to be at the Lavender Massage in Friday Harbor, Washington, all day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. giving readings. Then on January 17th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'll be giving a presentation on the Modal Peace Project at Banyan Books in Vancouver, Canada, followed by another presentation at Alfred Weber's home on January 18th in Vancouver, from Canada, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Both events are free and open to the public. I'll be giving away the Modal Peace Project children's books and the new 2016 the Modal Peace Project calendar for donations at both events. For those of you in Finland, I'll be speaking on a spiritual conference in Helsinki, Finland, on May 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th with some of the world's great spiritual thinkers, including Professor Ervin Laszlo of Hungary. The website for the venue is www.korpilampi.fi. From June 10th to the 13th, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, off of exit 114 on Interstate 5. For more information, please check our website at outofthisworld1150.com. And finally, on August 19th, 20th, and 21st, I will be the keynote speaker at a worldwide spiritual conference of peace and light in the Dominican Republic. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Fernandez in just a few minutes. And after the conference, I will be taking a group of people of up to 20 people to see John of God in Brazil. John of God is a wonderful medium who's been able to contact Jesus and other wonderful, fantastic spirits to help people with almost any physical or spiritual condition. If for information, if you'd like to come along on the trip, it should be really out of this world. My email again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Fernandez to the show. Dr. Fernandez, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you very much for your invitation. It's for me a pleasure to be online with you this particular day. I have just arrived in New York, and I will be here for the next few days for a seminar that I will be conducting.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Dr. Fernandez. Well, I want to tell everyone about your wonderful conference of Peace and Light that you'll be having on August 19th, 20th, and 21st in the Dominican Republic. Could you please tell my many listeners around the world a little bit about what the conference is about and the kinds of things you'll be discussing there?
Yes, definitely. Well, first of all, if you allow me, I would like to give them the website so they can go by themselves and explore everything. The website is www.paxluxmundi.com. Paxluxmundi.com.
Okay, thank you.
This is the second edition of this conference, which the first one took place last August. And it was a tremendous success. I mean, we do believe that it's probably the most important conference of this type in the Americas. A lot of people attend from all over the world. And we are bringing together the most renowned speakers and persons related with spirituality and those others who have something to tell the world, in order to foster peace and light, understanding by light, the light of knowledge and peace, bringing people together, you know. So we are very excited about this new edition, not only by having yourself hosted, but there are many guest speakers of a very high caliber, and we really look forward to a tremendous success again this year.
Well, that's so wonderful, and I'm so glad you could come on today, Dr. Fernandez, to tell everyone about that. One of the people who I really admire, of course, was Dr. Masaru Emoto, the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And I know that Michiko Hayashi, their director of the Emoto Peace Project, will be going, of course, to the conference. And one of the fascinating things that Dr. Emoto wrote about was about vibration, or hato. And if you raise your vibration through love and gratitude, love and light, peace and light, then you create a better planet. And he did that through water, but also because our human bodies are 70% water, and the planet is also 70% water. If you can raise your vibration, like at this conference, then you're creating a better planet.
Yes, definitely. Actually, many of the guest speakers will be talking about raising the vibration, which is we call the in a different way is like raising specifically the frequency of the particles that are really composed in the human body. Mm-hmm. And in this sense, there will be several guest speakers talking about that. Obviously, I mean, what you mentioned on water is extremely important because most of the human body is water. Everything is water. Water is in the atmosphere. I mean, this is the most abundant element. Mm-hmm. And not only, but including hydrogen and oxygen, but also because everything is actually solved in water. And water definitely has a tremendous influence in human behavior and human potential, you know, to in a way to produce this sense or this final destination that is what we really look forward to of peace and light. Mm-hmm. And well, I guess that's going to be very choking for most of the people because not everybody in this part of the world are familiar with the discoveries and all accomplishments of Dr. Morton. So it will be a great success again, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to tell you, too, that I've been a psychic for about 22 years now. And during the last year and a half, 2 years, Dr. Fernandez, I've been in touch with some incredibly wonderful spirits, including Professor Albert Einstein and Michel de Nostradamus on the other side. And Mr. Mm-hmm. Nostradamus has said that we have changed timelines. We changed timelines about 5 years ago from one of doom and gloom to one of a really beautiful, bright future for humanity. And so I wanted to let, and you know, your conference that you're doing now is all part of that, raising consciousness and creating a better planet. And a lot of this is coming from the bottom up, too, from a lot of people who are, of course, light workers working hard like yourself to make this a better planet. And I just want to thank you so much for all your wonderful work.
Well, I'm trying to do my best. It's not always easy. It's been now like 10 years since I've been dedicating almost exclusively through my books and seminars to promote this kind of sense of spirituality opposing religion all over the world. Mm-hmm. And in this sense, the conference, which is sponsored by our foundation, the 181 Foundation, mm-hmm. Is trying to put together those light workers that are actually committed to and compromised to bring people together, especially those people who have the same vibration, who have the same feeling, who are more or less related to the same parameters of frequency. Mm-hmm. These people who are in the process of what we could perfectly call ascension. I mean, people that are living apart their inhibitions, their reasons, their, you know, all those aspects in their lives that are tying them to density. Mm-hmm. So basically the conference, if there is a point that we could stress, could probably be that. I mean, that's the way to help people leave apart those aspects in their lives that are constantly bringing them to density.
Mm-hmm.
So the conference will try to put all the resources and all the knowledge that is now all over the world available to make him see and experience a loss of density.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I have to tell you this little story that Professor Einstein, before he passed away, wrote a series of letters to his daughter. And in his will, he gave he asked his daughter to keep the letters private until 20 years after his death. And so he released them. It was back, I think, back in the early 80s, Dr. Fernandez. And when he did, one of the most interesting letters in all of these letters he wrote his daughter was that he regretted making the atomic bomb, and he said instead, I would make a bomb of love, which would cover the planet in love and raise all of our vibration to create a better planet. He would have never he regretted greatly making the atomic bomb. But I always thought that was a fascinating letter. I read about it just a couple of weeks ago. A friend shared it with me.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, we are aware, and especially we organizing the conference are aware that not all human beings are the same. I mean, mm-hmm. all human beings are the same in potential, but there are many groups of people. This is more or less like, I could say, like a school, where some human beings are in the preschool section.
That's
and
true.
Others are finishing their doctoral degrees. So
that's true.
It is not possible to integrate them all. I mean, in terms of antiquity, in terms of how old are they, considering mm-hmm. age, based on the number of lives, number of effusions they have lived, mm-hmm. we have different groups. Mm-hmm. Well, we are trying not to put together all of them because that is visually impossible, but help them all to increase their frequency and make them more suitable to help others by losing, as I mentioned before, these aspects that are bringing them down back to density mm-hmm. and that avoid their potential or their possible transit forward to a higher level of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we really try to do with the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So and I could tell you that in the last edition, last August, it was incredible, the ambient, you know, the atmosphere that could be breathed by everyone there in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of strange phenomena that were present there.
I mean, mm-hmm.
when there were sightings, phenomena in the sky, there were UFO sightings, there were orbs all over the place all the time,
mm-hmm.
there were light spheres. We took photographs and videos, we had everything of that. I mean, the atmosphere was unbelievable. It was like an enormous bubble bringing everybody together, participating on the same will. I mean, it was outrageous. I mean, it's unexplainable. If you have the chance to take a look to the magazine that we published after the conference,
mm-hmm.
you will be able to know what happened there, and also the videos and the comments of the people attending, and also the keynote speakers. I mean, it was something supernatural in every respect.
That's incredible. I've been very privileged and honored to be actually in contact with a group of benevolent extraterrestrials called the Galactic Alliance for the past year and a half, 2 years now. During my second hour, I'll be bringing on a friend of mine who's had face-to-face contact or face-to-face and telepathic contact with them as well. And they're working behind the scenes to help us, Dr. Fernandez, and they're very proud of your work, by the way.
I couldn't hear you well. Say it again, please.
Oh, okay. I've been in touch with a group of extraterrestrials called the Galactic
yes.
Alliance.
And okay.
I just want to tell you they're very proud of your work and your conference, too.
Thank you very much. I am in contact too. I am in contact too all the time, physically in contact.
Oh, incredible. That's wonderful.
We might be able to talk about this in a different occasion, but I have these experiences since I was a little child.
Wonderful.
On an everyday basis.
That's
and in this case, this is physical, and I have lots of experiences. I used to travel out of the place, and as your program says, out of the world,
uh-huh.
almost on an everyday basis, physically.
Wow, that's incredible! That's just amazing.
Physically.
That's just amazing, Mike.
One of the reasons why we are in the Dominican Republic organizing this is because the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico are very special places here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And practically in the vertical of Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, there is like a station. It is called Shasta. And this is the home of the maintenance program of this world, of this planet, mm-hmm. that is called Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the meeting place. I mean, many people from Earth are actually going on an everyday basis, and they put together a very good deal of work all over this place.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, I would love to have you back again sometime on my program, Dr. Fernandez, in the future, and we'll talk about extraterrestrials, and I would love to talk about your experiences as well.
And anytime. I'm at your disposal, and now with these cellular phones and the Skype, everything is possible.
Great. Great. Well, we'll talk about that off air later, but I would love to have you on again sometime in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I wanted to, there was a quote I read from Albert Einstein yesterday, and I wanted to share this with you and all my listeners. Professor Einstein wrote, quote, "Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. When you match the frequency of the reality," hold on here, I've got it here. When you match the frequency of the reality, you cannot help but get that reality. It can be, this is not philosophy, this is physics. And so this is something that he talked about. I know that this is something that Professor Einstein has talked about as well, and something that you're talking about now and I'm talking about. So, and you know, it's funny, as I said that and as you were talking, it's a cloudy day here in Seattle. It's gray outside, but inside the studio here, Dr. Fernandez, it's this beautiful white light that just came in all over the studio and all over me, and I think they're sharing it with you too. So I always like it when the angels come in and they give us their blessings, and that's what's happening now. So,
yeah, definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much for your kindness in inviting me. And I would like to take this opportunity to recall that 19, 20, and 21st of February next month, there will be a macro event, an expo in Los Angeles, and I will be there too as a guest speaker. It's both in Spanish and in English, and you should probably talk about that, because there's a great deal of people. It's the largest expo in the United States on all of these topics. And everybody's there. Everybody.
Interesting. I just got an invitation to go there yesterday, and
okay.
I was busy preparing for the show today, so I haven't responded. But I think I will go. That sounds wonderful.
You should.
All right. I think it's the Conscious Life Expo. I think it's, yeah.
That's right. The Conscious Life Expo.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what I was doing last year. I missed it last year, and then they sent me an invitation, and I think it ended up in spam or something. I got it a month later. But
yes, you should go. You should go because of your program and yourself and your trajectory. And I mean, everybody will be there.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know that one gentleman I've wanted to interview was a Dr. Eben Alexander. He's done a lot of work
He's going to be with me. I mean, Eben Alexander will be with me.
Really?
He and me are having the keynote addresses there. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, because I've wanted to...
He's a psychiatrist, and I am a psychiatrist, too.
Oh, fascinating. Fascinating, fascinating. Well, what a small world. What a small world this is. It is a small world. It is a small world. Well, I'll have some time tonight, of course, to respond, and I think I would love to go. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. I want to keep you on for a few minutes until we get our next guest on.
Okay.
So we have some extra time. You yourself, I remember reading your biography, and it said that you'd worked as a diplomat. Is that right?
Yes.
My goodness.
Because I was I used to be the Spanish ambassador before UNESCO. And there was a time when I was also the president of the International Council on Education of the United Nations.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Tell me, I'm really curious, what guests are coming? Do you have a list? Do you know who all is coming to the conference in August so far?
To the conference in August?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let me see. We do have, for example, Roy Littleton, who is a Hopi Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Ryan Whitewolf, which is also an Indian. Veronica Ricard is a psychic. We have Juan José Benítez, the Horse of Troy, one of the most important writers, Spanish writers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have Enrique Quesadas from Mexico, Braxton.
Mm-hmm.
Braxton is very interesting because he doesn't talk. He will give a conference via telepathy.
Really? Fascinating. Yes. Fascinating.
Then we have Charles Kirel, Emi Shanti, who is the organizer of the expo, or one of the organizers.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Paula Cordoma, Dr. Madame Bali, Dr. Marilyn Rosner, who you probably know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Marilyn Rosner is probably the first psychic,
mm-hmm.
the person who inspired Steven Spielberg, Poltergeist. And, many people. I mean, these are only a few of them.
Wonderful. That is so wonderful. And I know Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo is coming as well.
And I believe Dr. Eric Terrell will be coming too.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, many people. Last year we had also a magnificent talent,
mm-hmm.
and from all over the world. It's very international, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even
Wonderful.
Though we are in the Dominican Republic where we speak Spanish,
mm-hmm.
but we conduct in different languages, and we do have simultaneous translation in all languages. Mm-hmm. Actually, our page is in English, Spanish, Russian, and Chinese.
Oh, really? That's amazing. That's
yeah.
amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you have some wonderful guests.
Everything is going to be very enjoyable, believe
mm-hmm.
me. And
mm-hmm.
The atmosphere is unique. I mean, we were all shocked last year when we saw what was happening every day, and nobody wanted to leave. They all wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems that we had is that all the guest speakers last year would like to come this year, and that is not possible. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we are making changes every year.
Sure, sure.
Yes, but you will enjoy. You will enjoy, definitely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Dr. Fernandez, I want to thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. And I would love to have you back on maybe next month at the conference in Los Angeles. Or earlier, if you like, where we could talk about
any time. I'm at your disposal. Just drop me a line in the email, and we'll get together.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Actually, I wanted to tell you, my next guest during this hour is a Hopi elder, actually, and we'll be talking about prophecies and the future of humanity and some
mm-hmm.
of the issues that they face down at the Hopi tribe. So.
How interesting.
Yes, it's a small world. And and then during my next hour, I'll be talking to my friend Scott Lemriel, who's had contact with benevolent extraterrestrials for the past 55 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we have lots to talk about.
How interesting.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'll try to tune with the radio station and listen to what he says.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. It's online. You can go to www.1150kknw.com and just click Listen Live. Now, after the show, if you miss it, it's no problem. Just go to the website at outofthisworld1150.com and click on Recent Guests, and you can listen to any show in the past. But
okay.
But I would...
I will, I will do that, and also try to upload it in our pages, because I think that what you're doing is extremely important, and I value it at the highest level. And I want
to thank you
for everything you do, and for all of your efforts to release this information to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, I know it's costing you time, money, and everything, but I'm at your disposal to help with whatever field you may deem as necessary.
I just want to share this story quick, and then we'll go on to my next guest. I don't want to keep Vernon waiting much longer for another minute, but it was in 2014 when I had Dr. Masaru Emoto on my show on July 25th, 2014. And in the middle of the interview, I asked Dr. Emoto, I said, well, if these techniques of thinking positive thoughts to water, which create these beautiful crystals, create like energized water, could we create world peace with that as well? He said, oh, most definitely. So I spontaneously did an intention experiment where I asked Dr. Emoto and all my listeners in over 60 countries around the world to send love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis, who at the time were fighting each other in the Gaza Strip. Well, that was about 3:30 p.m. Seattle time on Friday, July 25th. And so I went back where I was staying at about 8:30 p.m. and I turned on the TV, and just then CNN had a breaking story saying that that the Israelis and the Palestinians had just agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange the wounded and medical supplies and food for the medical supplies for the wounded on both sides. And we had asked in our intention experiment, specifically I'd asked for a short fire so that they could exchange food and medical supplies. And lo and behold, we created that. It took about 5 hours, but we created it and it materialized in 5 hours after that. And so with that, what I'd love to do is if we could just take a minute now, then I'll go into my next guest. And send love and light to the people and the children of Fukushima and the Emoto Peace Project and the Emoto office in Michiko Hayashi, because they do wonderful work for the kids there. And if we could do that now, I'm asking all my listeners around the world and you, Dr. Fernandez, if you could just visualize golden light and white light around Fukushima and Japan to help them with help clean up the radiation there, because I know it's still there, still a problem, but I know we can make a difference. So we could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And finally, I'd like to end your interview with about a minute of Imagine by John Lennon, if we could play that now. And then we'll go on to our next interview with Vernon, a Hopi tribal elder. And Dr. Fernandez, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you very much for your kindness and consideration towards myself.
My pleasure. I'll see you in Los Angeles next month.
See you.
Okay. Care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sees if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky.
Hello, friends. We're back. This is Out of This World Radio, and if you've just tuned in, that was a wonderful interview I had with Dr. Angel Luis Fernandez from the Dominican Republic. He's an absolutely wonderful man. He reminds me of Leonardo da Vinci because he's interested in so many different subjects, and he's a real humanitarian. He's been working for many years in trying to make this planet a better place. and I was so honored to have him on. And now we have Vernon. How are you today?
I got a little bit of a cold, but I'm all right.
Okay, good, good. To be polite, Vernon, how do you pronounce your last name? Because I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly.
Masayesva.
Masayesva. Okay. Masayesva. Okay, I wanted to be polite and pronounce your name correctly. And so, anyway, that's good. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I wanted to continue our wonderful interview that we had last week with you. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Hopi prophecies. And also, you mentioned on the air last week about a problem that you'd had with a mining company there on your land in Arizona.
Yes.
Could you please tell my many listeners a little bit about that? Because I don't know anything about it, and I know that many people are interested in what you have to say.
Well, we have been... I don't know what the word to describe it, mm-hmm. but our land, we call Tuonasavi, Earth Center, is under a mining activity.
Mm-hmm.
World's largest strip mining has been going on since 1970,
mm-hmm.
by Peabody Energy Company.
Okay.
And they use huge amounts of water, buried deep underneath the land, to one of the, we also call Black Mesa, to transport coal. It's called slurry operation.
Mm-hmm.
They grind up the coal, mix it with water, and then pipe it to a 370-mile pipeline from our land into Nevada. And there they separate the coal from the water and burn the wet coal.
Wow.
And huge amounts of money, over a billion gallons every year. You know, from a desert that in a good year gets only about 10 inches of rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high desert country.
Right.
The water that is used is pristine water. It's fossil water.
Wow.
Thousands of years ago.
Wow.
According to hydrologists, it dates to about 35,000 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so we are still suffering from loss of so much water.
Wow.
We were able to stop the mining operation in 2005, Black Mesa Trust, my organization,
mm-hmm.
with other indigenous organizations and environmental groups, we were able to shut down the coal slurry operation.
Mm-hmm.
But the mining is still going on. This one goes to Mojave, not Mojave, but Navajo mm-hmm. Generating Station.
Okay.
Another 2,500 megawatt power plant,
huh.
on the Navajo Reservation near the Colorado River,
mm-hmm.
in Arizona. And the history behind the building of Navajo Generating Station is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was authorized by United States Congress.
Well, wait a minute. Aren't you a separate, considered a separate nation under federal tribal law? So how could the Congress, U.S. Congress, have authority to give authorization to a generating plant that doesn't make sense?
It doesn't make sense, but the tribal land, tribal reservation Indian tribal reservations
mm-hmm.
are held in trust for the tribe.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We don't have title. We don't have ownership.
I see.
The title is in the hands of the federal government.
I see. Okay.
They have what is called a trust duty to protect our natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, they exploited our waters and our coal to run Navajo generating station. United States Congress helped build by appropriating over $100 million. There's three units that run, that produce 2,500 megawatts of power.
Mm-hmm.
Unit is owned or by the Bureau of Reclamation, an agency under Department of Interior. The other unit is owned by California Utility Company and also another utility company out of Nevada, out of state utility. Third one is owned by Arizona Utilities, three utility companies, Salt River Project, Arizona Public Service, and Tucson Electric. And the one that is owned by Bureau of Reclamation provides very cheap power to run the water pump. And the water pump comes from Colorado River through a 320-mile open canal. It delivers water to Phoenix and on to Tucson.
Wow.
And that was the reason Congress got involved in this, because they want to make that thing happen, to deliver water to Phoenix and Tucson, a long uphill distance. Well, it's been going on for 40 years. We were able to shut down Mojave Generating Station located in Nevada at the end of 2005. Long auxiliary operation. We were able to save huge amounts of water, about 3,800 acre feet of water. But the one at Page, Arizona Navajo Generating Station is located on the Navajo land. The coal supply comes from both Hopi and Navajo land. And it continues to operate, and the owners of the Navajo Generating Station, as well as Peabody Company, have filed an application to extend the operation of the generating station and the mining operation to 2044. And we're hoping to succeed in ending the mining, and it's the only way we can save water for future Hopi generation, Navajo generations of children. And we feel we can accomplish that. The coal leases with Hopi tribe expires 2024.
I see. Okay.
And we are informing and educating the people about the desecration of Black Mesa, which is a cultural landscape. We are doing a pretty good job of it, even though we have hardly any money. We don't have a staff. I'm the only staff, by the way, in that for 20 years now, with the help of my wife, and we operated out of her living room. That's all. But we feel very, I feel very confident that with our educational campaign, informing the people, that we will persuade the Hopi people to deny the mining extension to 2044. I'm pretty going to finally accomplish that.
Oh, that's good, Vernon. I hope you don't mind me interrupting, Vernon, but I wanted to ask you, does your tribe see any benefits from this at all? Anything other than the stealing all your water? Anything comes back to you? Any tangible benefits?
Pardon me?
Do you get any benefits? Does your tribe get any benefits from this this export of your water to help these private companies? Do you get
any? Yeah, I believe this. When the lease was signed in 1966, with Hopi and Peabody signed a lease, Hopi Tribal Council, which is a modern form of government, mm-hmm. we have form of government called the Hopi Tribal Council government.
Mm-hmm.
Village government. They're independent government. There's mm-hmm. 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very old villages. Traditional. Some of them are still traditionally governed.
Mm-hmm.
But the modern Hopi Council is the one that signed the leases. And they approve the sale of water, leasing of water.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to believe this. $1.67 per acre foot.
What?
$1.67 per acre foot. An acre foot is 326,000 gallons of water. And this is pristine water.
My God. Well, this is, you know what this reminds me of? I grew up in Washington State, and I'm familiar with the reservations out here. And I know from history, during the course of the 18th and 19th centuries, the Native Americans were heavily exploited by the arriving settlers. And the lands that the federal government chose for them to be placed, forced upon, often sometimes forced upon, were what they considered at the time worthless. And they were very, very exploited. Now you're telling me this is a story not of benefit to the tribe, but of exploitation. And what I'd like to do, I know we talked about this off air here a few days ago, and I'd like to. Do you have legal help in this? Do you have any help at all in this fight against them?
We get help from. Lawyers on a pro bono basis, because we can't afford to hire.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Well, Vernon, if you mind, could I have your email address? And I'd like to make ask all my listeners around the world that if you'd like to help the Hopi in their battle to keep their pristine water from being exploited by these public and private utilities. That would be great, and perhaps there's someone out there who's an attorney who would like to do some pro bono or free work for the Hopi. The rewards you get, I'd like to say, is you get them in heaven later. So even though you don't get paid now, but is that okay, Vernon? If you could give out your email or some way to contact you,
that would really help. The other part that's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very upsetting. It's really an outrage. It's the destruction of archaeological sites.
Destruction? Okay.
I see when the company strip mines, they clear off the top surface.
Right.
Process, they destroy archaeological sites. But if they find a site, they try to mitigate it. Save it somehow.
Right, right.
We don't really know how many of these sites have never been reported to us because no one is out there watching them. Mm-hmm. According to Peabody study, and it's in their website, a survey crew recorded 2,500 historic and prehistoric sites.
Wow, that's amazing.
On the lease, just within the leasehold at Black Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
unknown number of burial sites. So if there's that many villages, then there must have been a lot of people out there.
My goodness, my goodness. You know what this...
What the company does is if they destroy a site,
right,
they take what they can, artifacts,
mm-hmm,
send it to a university.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing with the human remains.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, I know that, pardon me for interrupting, Vernon, but I know that there's federal laws which supposedly protect you, and probably international law as well, but what good of it, what good are these laws if they're not enforced, you know?
They're not enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Office of Surface Mining does a very, very poor job of regulating the mining activity. They are the sole regulatory authority.
Wow.
But they not enforce the Surface Mining Reclamation Act.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, it's very lenient.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's one of our big problems. Mm-hmm. We can't get them to exercise their trust responsibility seriously.
Wow, wow.
Of the spirit and the intent of the law, mm-hmm, instead they seem to be more supporting Peabody operations.
Sure, sure. Well, it's no secret, Vernon, that for decades actually, many people claim that there's actually a revolving door in the U.S. federal government between the public and private sector. In other words, for example, you might have Peabody mining executives who are working on this mining operation on your reservation, who go to work for the federal government later, and they're the ones deciding actually the issue. So they go back and forth between the two, public and private sectors. There's no difference between the two.
We at one time asked for a full disclosure of all the sites that have been disturbed, mm-hmm, including burial sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that I have to pay OSM, Office of Surface Mining Office in Denver,
mm-hmm,
$18,000. Where am I going to get the $18,000?
$8,000, is that per page for disclosure, or how much would that be for?
$18,000.
$18,000, my goodness. And this is a public agency supposedly there to serve the public.
Hmm. My brother also asked for information in behalf of our clan. We are the Cayuga clan, and we settled in, our ancestors settled in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he asked the Office of Surface Mining for the records, for disclosure of all the records, and they dismissed it, saying he was on a wild fishing expedition.
Well, you know, Vernon, I wanted to tell you, I do want to try to get you some help. Could you please give my listeners your email, so if there's someone out there who'd like to help you with that, yes, they could contact you?
It's KUUYI@AOL.com.
Okay. K as in King, UUYI@AOL.com. And people are also welcome to contact me as well, and I'll just forward this to Vernon. My the radio email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com.
Well, other important information where we really need help. We have prepared a resolution. It's called the Right to Memory. That we would like to get to the United Nations and ask that there be a better job,
sure,
the international community of protecting historic, you know, sacred sites all,
sure,
over, not
absolutely,
just on coast,
absolutely.
But,
Vernon, I'm so sorry, my friend. We're running short on time today, but I'd love to have you back on the air again soon. My dear listeners, if you can help Vernon and the Hopi preserve their tribal resources and water resources, please send him and Vernon an email to kuuy@aol.com. Vernon, I'm so sorry we ran out of time. I will have you on again soon. And please stay tuned to our next hour with Scott Lemriel and the Galactic Alliance. Thank you, Vernon, for coming on today.